Stand Up on 90.9 FM KRCL. I'm Laura Jones, and you're listening to Radio Active Now, weeknights at 6 p.m. right here on your Community Connection. And Radio Active, a unique community affairs program for the local and global community builder. If you have ideas, suggestions, guests you want to hear from, just send an email to radioactive@krcl.org. Joining me in studio now, we're going to talk health care reform. It didn't happen last year. Will it happen this year? How big a part of a successful justice reform initiative is health care reform? And joining me to talk about it, we have Riley Curtis, Medicaid policy analyst from the Utah Health Policy Project. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have from the same organization, Jason Stevenson, education and communications director. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
So what has happened so far on health care? A lot of promises again in a day and a half, 2 days?
So many promises. No, you said it failed last year. It's failed the last 2 years. We have been trying so hard to get reform passed here in the state, get low-income Utahns access to health insurance. These are Utahns who make too much money to qualify for Medicaid in the state of Utah. And they also don't qualify for help on healthcare.gov because they don't make enough money. About 70,000 Utahns.
Well, last year was a full court press, a lot of rallies. I mean, I think even Doug Wright from KSL got in on it.
He did.
Nothing over interim that really came to fruition. We all expected a special session on health care.
We did. We got a committee hearing in October. The Legislative Health Reform Task Force, after, 3 months of the dream team, the gang of six, made up of the governor, lieutenant governor, speaker of the House, Senate president, and others, all the people you would need to pass this in a conservative state, worked on a proposal over the summer, came together in October in a legislative hearing, and they proposed this bill that essentially was the governor's plan, expanding access to private health insurance using Medicaid dollars, covering the gap completely. But instead of the taxpayers of Utah using the general fund dollars paying for this proposal, it was instead the beneficiaries, so doctors, providers, hospitals, nurses.
They bulked. We all knew they would bulk. I mean, you're just cost shifting, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jason Stevenson, Education and Communications Director for Utah Health Policy. What's the plan this session?
Well, there are a couple plans out there.
Six,
that's at the latest count. They might multiply over the night. You never know. But none of the plans come close to the good plan that we had in last year with Healthy Utah.
And the governor's basically said, fight amongst yourself, children, figure it out. He's just sitting back. I did my part, right?
I think, the governor is so hard. The governor and the Senate president, they really did a full court press, as you mentioned, last year. And it's every year, year after year, it's one body that holds it up. And so I think this year he's like, well, then you send me something that you can get through your body and we'll see if I support it.
Well, you got some help from Utah Chief Justice Matthew Durant when he gave the State of the Judiciary address Monday. Justice reform won't work without funding to pay for things like substance abuse and mental health treatment, he said. And he was pretty adamant about it. Here's some tape.
On this point, I need to be clear. If treatment is unavailable, not only will the system fail to improve, it will likely worsen. Putting offenders who would previously have gone to jail or prison back into the community without treatment will almost certainly increase crime. Passage of the Justice Reinvestment Initiative was clearly the right decision, but it was conceived of as a complete package, and somehow the treatment side of the equation must be addressed.
Now, if that ain't some pressure to perform, you got the Chief Justice of the Utah Supreme Court saying, you didn't fund this, and now we're on the path, already down the path on justice reform, and we need the funding to pay for substance abuse and mental health care treatment. And that's part of health care reform, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. So if you look at the demographics of who falls into the Medicaid coverage gap, about a third of the 63,000 Utahns in the gap are parents with children. Two-thirds are single adults without children. They traditionally don't qualify for Medicaid in the state. Now, if you think about the justice reform population, so folks coming in and out of the criminal justice system, a lot of them tend to be adults without children. Or at least without dependent children. So maybe they're parents of children, but they're not claiming them. And so they are the population that does not qualify for Medicaid in the state of Utah. And their incomes are so low that they're not qualifying for help on healthcare.gov. And so if you expand Medicaid to this population, states that have expanded Medicaid have actually seen 15 to 20% reduced recidivism rates in their states after they expanded Medicaid. Because think about it, when you're released from prison or jail, you get about 4 weeks worth of medication, whether that's for substance use or mental health, 4 weeks of medication. And then it's like, good luck. I hope you find someone to donate those medications to you after that.
The old bootstrap. All right, so you're listening to Radioactive on 90.9 FM KRCL. I'm Laura Jones. We're talking health care reform now with Riley Curtis of the Utah Health Policy Project and Jason Stevenson, also from that group, Education and Communication. So given all the education and the communication of the last couple of years, what are you doing to draw folks in, the regular folks out here who can come up to the Hill, the stories that you're trying to tell?
Well, you know, we've had some good success in Utah with signing people up for Obamacare. That's a machine that's going well, 159,000 at our latest count. And those are, of course, the people who earn enough to qualify for the premium subsidies. It leaves out, as Riley said, almost 70,000 Utahns that could be covered under Medicaid expansion. So there's this really bright line at about 100% of poverty. If you're above it, you get health care. If you're below it, tough luck. And so what we do is when we do events, we talk to people, everybody who's above that 100% poverty, we sign them up for healthcare, figure out what's available. And those that are below, we explain to them what's going on. And we try to get their stories. We try to get them involved. We find out where they live, who their representatives are, and share those stories with the media, because there's 70,000 stories out there. Each one of them is unique. Each one has something that they can bring to this discussion. And I think the more that we get that out there, I mean, people listening probably know folks who are uninsured and maybe have had health problems and can't get coverage or pay out of pocket or going into medical bankruptcy. Those are the stories that will continue in Utah until we figure this out.
So it'd be just too easy to say lawmakers are just hard-hearted and don't care about folks. It's just too easy. So what is the rub, Riley? What is it that they're still struggling with? Because we're leaving millions of dollars we've already sent to Washington on the table. Mm-hmm. And you know, every year the worry is that window's going to close about getting access to that money again.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that the rub, the issue for them that they would argue is the unknown. You know, we've never expanded to this population before, and I think that there's fear that this population will either A, have much higher cost needs from all the pent-up demand, that it will cost the state a lot more, because we are eventually on the hook for 10% of the cost of this population, or there will be far more people in this gap than we estimate.
The woodwork effect.
Right.
It's the unknowns that we don't know. It's Rumsfeldian in a way, and that seems to be stopping them from reaching some sort of compromise. So any temperature reading on day two of compromise on the Hill?
I mean, there's another factor out there, too, and that's the fact of who's sitting in the White House. And that this creation of Medicaid expansion, the Affordable Care Act, is President Obama's initiative, and it's coming out of Washington, D.C., even though the state has a lot of latitude about how we want to do this with the Affordable Care Act or with Medicaid expansion. There is some political resistance that isn't based in numbers or dollars or even all the stories that we can bring to the Hill. That is, I wouldn't say impossible to overcome, but certainly a major challenge.
Well, does that mean then there's no hope until we see who's in the White House next time?
I think there's some truth to that. I think that a few of the bills that are being ran this year they're a type of message bill to the next administration. Two of them, I'm thinking particularly Senator Shiazawa or Representative Spendlove's bill, they want to do a message bill to the next administration that says, look, Utahns and Utah lawmakers can get behind this bill, closing the coverage gap, but asking for the enhanced federal match rate, getting our dollars back. But we're not going to go as far as you want us to in terms of how many people we have to cover. And that's really a message for the next administration. So maybe there is hope. I tend to think there still is. That's why I'm still breathing and living and walking and, you know, my head's still on my shoulders, because I think we can get there eventually. It's just a matter of continuing to share the stories of people in the gap.
It's a big election cycle, president, governor, all down the ticket. So what, if you were a betting group here, Utah Health Policy Project, are we going to get it done?
I would say that we have a good chance of getting something done this legislative session. I don't think it's going to be the solution or the end all to this issue. This will not be the last chapter on this book if we start this year, because even if we get a partial expansion this legislative session, it's going to leave people out. It's a disincentive for work program that we would pass, because if we create a new fiscal cliff for people where we're only covering 0 to 10% of the poverty level instead of 0 to 100% of the poverty level, they'll want to quit their job in order to get health insurance to get their health issues taken care of.
There's a lot of pros and cons no matter which way you look at it. Well, thank you so much for coming in. If folks want to get involved, Jason Stevenson, where can they go?
Well, one of the best websites is coverthegap.org. That's coverthegap.org. You can learn more about the coverage gap in Utah, find out who your representatives are, send a message to them, a personal message, and also reach those of us at UHPP who are, you know, putting together more coalitions and more events during the legislative session.
You know, there was one thing I just remembered. I pulled an article. KSL was reporting, actually it's an AP story out of Washington, healthcare fines press millennials as sign-up deadline nears. So what's the latest on that? Can they go to the coverthegap.org as well to find out?
We've just got a handful of days to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, and open enrollment ends on January 31st. So the where to get help in Utah, if you're desperate, you want health insurance, you don't want to be fined $1,000, which could happen, go to takecareutah.org. I'm full of websites today. takecareutah.org, or call 211 from anywhere in the state. You get free assistance. Signing up for health insurance isn't as easy as Amazon.com, but it is pretty good. And if you need help, there's 120 folks at Take Care Utah willing to help out.
Hey, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up next, Death of Dignity. On KRCL, here's Galactic and Mavis Staples. Does it really make a difference?
Does it really make a difference if we don't?